Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning, we come before your throne of grace. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your love towards us. We have come to hear, to be affected, and to be changed by your presence and by your word. I pray that, Lord, you speak to us, you affect our lives, and that you not allow us to live the same as we came. Thank you for everyone who is here this morning. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, wow, you may be seated. Is somebody burning something around? At the back, dump site. They've started burning things again. Sunday morning. All right. I'm going to smoke us out of here. Wonderful. We're in a season of loyalty and disloyalty. I'm sure last Sunday you heard some powerful messages. We believe in the church, okay? And believe that the church is one of the greatest institutions that God has given to us. But with every good thing, you have to guard it. I said with every good thing, you have to guard it, isn't it? The Bible says that guard your heart. Guard your heart is a very, very precious thing God has given to you. You need to guard it. If you give your heart to the wrong person, you're dead. If you do the wrong things to affect your heart also, you are dead. You get it? Your heart is so important that it must be taken good care of. In a similar way, the church is one of the greatest assets that God has given to us. Imagine yourself without the church. Where would you have been? At least those of us who are grateful to God for what he has done for us. So the church is something that we need to be very protective of. Are you with me? Because this is us. The church is us. Look at what we do. We come here all the time. We spend money on the church. We give this amount. We pay tithe. We talk to God. We come here to pray. We come here to sing. We spend enough time here and all of that. Now, why should we allow the church to be destroyed or to spoil? I mean, it's just like our country. Why should we allow Venezuela to come and take part of our country? And why should the former president say that we should give them a concession? That we should allow them to use some of the water or some river or something? When he was president, did he ever say that? Our country is our country. Their country is their country. If they need the water to use, they should tell us that we should give them permission. Not that part of our country is for us. You know, so sometimes people are very it's like people are not real. People are very, very, you know, you when you see things, you should be very careful what you see. Because people are not the way they are most of the time. It is that same kind of people who are in the church. And you know that changes don't just happen. Changes. I mean, some people don't change at all. I tell you. So when we come together like this in a church, we have to be very vigilant and we have to be very defensive. We have to be very alert about the church. Because it has cost lives. It cost Jesus' life to bring together what he has brought together. And therefore, when we come into the church, we must make sure that the elements that will rather spoil and destroy the church or give the church a bad name, we fight those elements. I said, we fight those elements. Yeah. So, I want to, you know, those who preached last week, they preach what they want to preach. I am preaching what I also feel God wants us to preach here. Uh-huh. How do we avoid disloyalty? Or avoiding disloyalty? That's what I want to talk to you this morning about. Disloyalty, in other words, is to be unfaithful. It means that you do the opposite of what is expected of you. I mean, you are expected to, you know, be here and do your best and, you know, contribute to the development of the church. And then you turn the other way. It means you have been unfaithful. Being disloyal means that you were trusted, but you have proven to be, to not be trusted. That we relied on you, but you have made yourself unreliable. Yes. That's what you call disloyalty. And this is something that affects the church. And it's something you must avoid. Turn to somebody and say, you must avoid disloyalty. I want to show you a scripture right here. Proverbs. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 13. Proverbs 17 and 13. By the time we leave here, our fancy clothes will be smelling something else. Oh. Mm-hmm. All your Gucci perfume will be taken over by the thing from the dump side. They don't care about us at all. You have to spray back some more. I hope you brought it to church. If you left it at home, then you are in trouble. Proverbs chapter 17. Is that what I said? And verse 13, the Bible says that if you repay evil for good, evil will never leave your house. Crazy. If you ever repay evil for good, that when good has been done to you, when you have been taken care of, when you have been, been embraced, you have been loved, you have been accepted, and then you repay that good with evil. The Bible says that evil will be your security guard. I don't think we really read our Bible, so because if you read your Bible, you discover things that will change your life forever. The people will not repay evil with good. Or will not repay good with evil, rather. Are you with me? So how do we move away from this kind of character or this kind of behavior where we seem to repay evil good with evil? Or we repay evil for good? Why? Because you must avoid, whatever the case may be, you must avoid disloyalty. Now, avoiding disloyalty happens when you want to leave the church, or you feel like leaving the church. I mean, leaving churches is something that happens. I mean, all the time. You cannot say that somebody is cemented. You concrete something, you mix sand and cement, and then you fix Pastor Isan's legs. You pour concrete over his body right up to his knees and say, you are not going anywhere. I mean, it would be excellent if we can have that. But unfortunately, or fortunately, people leave churches. Sometimes people who are close, people who are high in a church, they go. Now, you have to, as a Christian, do things in a godly manner. So that if you have to leave, you leave well. You leave properly. You live in a godly way. Because if you don't do that, then you create disloyalty. Whatever the thing is. I mean, look at you. One day you were standing on stage. You've been standing on stage for so long. Now, all of a sudden, I mean, you've just disappeared. It's not godly. There must be, you see, I was part of a church. Okay, I was part of the, I think the church later went to affiliate themselves with the Assembly of God Church. So I was part of that church for a few years until I met Bishop. And then Bishop, you know, asked me, he asked to come in and help start Lighthouse in Holland. And I didn't like the idea. I didn't like the idea. But eventually I concurred, I agreed, I accepted it, I said yes. And so when I went back to my church and I told the church board about the thing, hey, they said, no, you are not going anywhere. It was a very hot meeting. It was my brother-in-law who actually saved me. Because my brother-in-law was part of that church board as well. And he was very, very respected as a member, one of the pastors also. He was the one who brought even to mind a prophecy that somebody prophesied over me when he was there. He brought it up and said, you know what? I remember this pastor, ABCD, said this about my brother-in-law. And I think that we should be very, very careful. Because this could be the opening for such a prophecy to take place. So, let us not fight and let's release him. Let him go. And then that was the end of the matter. So they released me. They organized a send-off service for me. They called me in front. I went there. I knelt. The pastors came and they laid their hands on me. They prayed for me. And they bought me a goodbye present. The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. A big concordance like that. And then they said bye-bye to me. So when you see me or when I meet any of them anywhere, it's not like, you know, because the leaving or the resignation or not going to that location every Sunday morning from that time was a godly one. Because you have been in the church. I used to preach now and then. Sometimes my pastor, the pastor really liked me, you know. So he would say, you know what? He would tell me, well, next week, prepare to preach. And then, I don't know, I'll just go and preach something. I don't even remember what I used to preach about. I was the secretary of the church. I was the DJ of the church. Anytime there's a party, it is my musical instruments. It's my amplifier, tape. But I had all the gospel dancing ones. Hey! And I will carry my speakers and my amplifier, preamp and everything, the laser disc. And I will go. You know, the church that we're using, they had a top floor for these kind of things. Oh, I will set them up and I will jam. So I was a secretary of the church. I was a Bible, Sunday school Bible teacher also. It's like when we gather, we're doing Bible study. I was one of the teachers who also teach. So as a secretary, I used to teach Bible study. I used to preach now and then, and I was the DJ of the church. Now, if such a figure is no more in the church, it must be for a good reason, and the living must be godly. It must be godly. Otherwise, you are repaying evil for good, and evil will not leave your house. Can you imagine when you open your door, evil is standing right there? You will close it. I mean, evil will be at your doorstep that you will not dare to go out. I remember we were involved in a plane, you know, an accident in 1992, October, I think October 4th, 1992. We were in an apartment complex on that day. It was Sunday afternoon, and an Israeli airline, El Al, a cargo plane, Boeing 747. One of the biggest Boeings, cargo, filled with all kinds of things. We later learned that there was uranium even in on board the flight. Took off from Amsterdam Schiphol Airport. And when he took off, 5 or 10 minutes later, we heard that the pilot had problems with the plane. So he requested, from the control tower to land. But you know, in a busy airport, once you go, somebody's coming. So once they say bye-bye to you, they are not expecting you to come to turn back. So when that emergency comes up, then they have to look for a loophole somewhere to fix you. So they ask him to, circle, go around for like a 5-10 minutes for them to fix, the schedule so that they can land. If you have an emergency, and they say go around for 10 minutes, you have to do the sign of the cross. So the pilot tried, and then he lost one of the engines. It's an aeroplane going like that, and then the engine detaches itself from the wing. You have to say shaita shaita, I tell you. About 4 crew members on board, and the rest was just cargo. So the engine caused an imbalance of the weight. So then the plane began to tilt more on the side that the engine fell off from. And then the pilot was trying, still no permission to land. You can't go and just land. Then he lost control over the plane because now you can't control it. Naturally, as it went like that, then the weight in the cargo also, of course. So we were enjoying sitting Sunday afternoon watching TV around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Enjoying watching TV. Then the plane came. The place where we're living had about 8, 10, 11, 12 level apartments all around. So the plane came like that. Straight into the apartment complex where we were sitting. Thousands of people died. By the grace of God, it missed us by that. When we felt the impact, we thought there was an earthquake. So all of us went on the ground. Only to realize that an aeroplane. I mean, Sunday afternoon, you've come back from church, you are relaxing. My sister was trying to prepare some food for myself and a few friends. So we were just sitting down, shirts off, singlet, shoes off, watching football. I mean, we're just waiting for the food to be ready. Then all of a sudden, a big shake. Hey! Then we heard that. What is this? When we went to the front door and we opened the door, the fire, the flames, you can't keep the door open for even a second. So we closed back the door. That's how evil is. If you repay evil for good. That's why I'm telling you the story I'm telling you. So we were in there. We're on the 8th floor. Fire in front. I mean, we're trying to run now because 8th floor, what do you do? Do you jump? You don't have wings. You can't fly. Even though some people jumped and some people died. So we say, no. We got to find a way to go. So we monitored the heat until the breeze at the point blew the flames, the inferno, in an opposite direction. So that, you couldn't feel it so much when you opened the door. And that's how we managed to, on the walls like that, manage. When the lift wasn't working, so we had to go down the stairs. That's what we realized when we go down that it was an aeroplane, Boeing 747, that has come to hit our building when we're sitting down enjoying TV, Sunday afternoon. It took part of the building with it like that. And we heard there were people just like us sitting down watching TV. All they realized was that they were taken away. It was so very, very sad. But I'm saying that the fire that was at the front door, that is how evil will be in front of your house. If you repay good, evil for good, or good with evil. If you use for, you have to turn it around. If you use with, you have to turn the other way around. Hallelujah. And that is why we must avoid disloyalty. Because when you leave and you live in a wrong way, you live in a rebellious circumstances, you are causing disloyalty, and this is what will happen to you. Leaving a church is never nice. It's never a pleasant, you know, pleasant thing. And it's rarely peaceful. It's rarely, rarely do people leave a church and they do it peacefully. Rarely, rarely. Because anytime you are parting company, there are some kind of feelings and emotions, and maybe it's one or two things that didn't go the way you expected it to go. So the leaving now is on the grounds of like revenge or fight or something. Rarely, rarely do people leave peacefully. But we are teaching that if you have to leave, I said if you have to leave, we pray you don't leave, but if you have to leave, then you have to do it in a peaceful way. Can I have a witness for the Lord? Now, we're going to look at two examples in the Bible about people who left. Okay. But one of the things that you have to notice is that when you are leaving a church, you have to give notice. What did I say? You have to give what? If you are leaving a job, what do you do? What? 1 month.
1 month notice. I
1 month notice. A job that you are not happy with, that they are paying you less. Yeah. That is not helping you to overcome your financial difficulties. They say 1 month. When we are leaving the church, no notice. Oh, I didn't see you last week. I'm around. 2 weeks. I didn't see you 2 weeks. I'm around. No. You have left. Just say that, you know what? Please, no, it is at least you have heard preaching before. At least we have laid our hands on you before. At least we have spoken some good things over your life before. So give us notice. You know what, Pastor? I want to. God has spoken to me. Oh, I don't like the church anymore. I want to move on. This is, you know. So if you don't see me, then. Because we can't force you. You see, one of the places that we express a lot of bad character and attitude is the church. And that's why you shouldn't blame pastors and churches when they become very difficult. People don't like it when pastors are very difficult and very, you know. What kind of church is that? You can't see the pastor. You give an appointment. When you go, they say, you should bring an offering when you are going. But you see, it is the church members who have made pastors become so cruel. Somebody came to our church. And then we don't even know why the person left. We encounter this thing a lot. Sometimes we use people's homes for a Bible study and all of that. They agree. And when they agree, they don't go to any church. Then when you start doing the Bible study, then all of a sudden after 2 months, they say, oh, they are going back to their old church. We have had that. Oh, two of us. Where are the church leaders? We've had that so many times. Even their children. There are people who come to our home cells in areas. You go bring them to church, pay taxi fare for them. They come. There's something. You buy them drink, you buy them juice. This, that. When you go for the home cell, you do a little cookie, a little something. And then after 6 months, they say they're going to their former church. Hey! Since when? So there was a lady like that. Came to the church, gave us the permission to use her house and all of that. We're grateful. And then sometimes when you go, she's not there. It's a very bad character. When you agree to for the church to use your house for Bible study, and then when the time comes, when we come, you are not there. You don't tell us anything. You don't say, oh, I'm traveling. I may not be able to come back. So, I don't know. Sometimes you see, people, is it the house? Is it the house that you live in, that you are using to, I don't know what word to use. That you're playing styles. That house can catch fire. Have you not seen houses that has gone down completely by fire? Have you not seen people go into houses and steal things from the house and all of that? You see, people don't realize that anytime you repay evil for good, evil will never leave your house.
When the church has come into your house and they are praying for the house and they are praying the place and good things are happening in the house, whenever you are inconvenienced, you won't. Even right now, there's a house somewhere in Ransville. They have turned their chairs
already in November, in October. So when we go there,
there's nothing. You say, oh no, we are preparing for Christmas. In October. Now pray that Christmas will come and meet you alive.
Now, we don't know, but it's just so ironic that when we're going to have pastors' conference in London, we worked hard. My leaders went to London. They walked the corners of London looking for pastors of 46 churches. Some people were happy about that. Some people were not happy and this and that. But there were two pastors who were not happy at all about the program. They are dead now. They died about a week or so, two ago. They all died on the same day. I don't know how you want to explain it. And he died of cancer. I don't know. Can we say that because of the problem they gave us, that's why God has called them? I don't know. But it is very interesting that the very two, and we didn't even know, it's one of our church members who just sent us a message that, could you believe that the very two pastors that gave us a hard time and didn't turn up for the meeting, they are dead. They died on the same day. I was like, wow, this is interesting. Is it possible? Is it possible that God is not happy with them for what they did to a church? You say you are a pastor. You say you are part of the kingdom of God. Then the kingdom of God is coming to do something in your backyard. And you say no. Meanwhile, you say you are part of the kingdom of God. What kingdom are you part of? Then you are not part of it. Oh, come now. It's possible. It is possible that they have been recalled because, you see, as for cancer, when you are sick of cancer, it doesn't happen all the time like that. I mean, not just one time that you are dead. Cancer will have to be around. You have to be sick. You know, it's just the latter stages that you don't really see. But these are not people who were. There were people who were active, moving around. It's too fantastic. One day, that said, very same two pastors. If it is not something that is linked to this, then it's very, very coincidental. Very, very, very coincidental. People start packing their chairs in their house. Who protects you? Who gives you life? Who keeps diseases and sickness from your body? Who blesses your food and blesses the air you breathe? Who does that? That same person is the person that you've covered your chest. Don't come here. Because they see the human beings, they see the church. They say, oh, some people, they don't see what is behind. So if you're going to leave, give some notice. Talk about it. Come to the office. Pastor, I want to see you. I've been, the church has been very, very good to me. The church has been a blessing to me. I want to move on to another church. I want to go and start my own church. But I cannot live without properly telling you. Because if I do that, then Proverbs 17:13 will become my lifetime scripture. No, Christians should know how to behave themselves, though. You see, because the pastor didn't give birth to you, the pastor doesn't feed you, the pastor has not employed you and pay you, we don't respect the pastor and respect the church. Yeah.
You must avoid disloyalty. I said you must avoid disloyalty.
Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Jacob, in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 20, Genesis chapter 31, and verse 20. Let's look at Jacob. avoiding disloyalty. Bible says, and they set out secretly and never told Laban they were leaving. So Jacob took all his possessions with him and crossed the Euphrates River, heading for the territory of Gilead. And Laban didn't learn of their flight for 3 days. You, Jacob, when you're running away from your brother, Esau, your mother sent you to her brother, Laban. She said, go, and he will put you up. And that's how he ran. When he got to a place, he was so tired that he put a stone for his pillow to sleep. And God showed himself to him, and he'll bless him. Now you go to your uncle Laban's house, and he puts you up, and you work with the sheep that he has. And it was so many things he experienced. For 14 plus years, he gave you two of his daughters. Where is it that after all these years, can you believe it, that you are leaving him? Then in verse 20 of Genesis chapter 31, you are leaving him. Then what happens? The Bible says that they set out secretly. It was not until 3 days later that the man realized that, my nephew, where is he? When we meet, because he must have had a very big compound, a big house with a lot of people, to actually notice after 3 days that this guy, his two wives and their maidservants and their cattle and their sheep and their goats, they have left the compound. He must have had a very big compound. But is that how to operate? Even if your uncle didn't give you the woman you said you're interested in, at least he gave her to you after 14 years. Yeah. So can you believe that somebody will be with you for 15, 16, 20 years, and then one day they'll just pack their bags quietly and go? Is it nice? Oh, is it nice? Is it nice? Princess, is it nice? When you finish school, you're going back. Should I? She said, gift. Where's princess? I don't see her. So, he gone about 3 weeks ago. He went back to Niger. Hey! Is that how people behave? Let me tell you. To come and have a place to sit and listen to God's word, something good has been given to you. I said something good has been given to you. You don't have to be giving food or to be giving money to know that somebody, God has given you something, or the church has been good to you before. If you are leaving, don't do it secretly. That's not the way to say bye-bye if you ever have to leave. Moses, in Exodus chapter 4, Exodus chapter 4, verse 18. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 18. Then Moses, you see, after God revealed himself to Moses in the form of the burning bush, then Moses had to go back to Egypt. But remember that when he ran away from Egypt, it was Jethro, the priest of Midian, he was the one who put him up and gave him some job to take care of some sheep for him for 40 years. Did you know that when Moses was 40 years, that was when he killed the Egyptian and he was wanted, so he ran away. And when he ran away, he was out there for 40 years before God revealed himself to him. Moses was 80 years when he took up that challenge. And he was 80 years. It's never too late for you to do anything. It is never too late. Somebody preached a message some time ago. The 40 years of Moses' life. The first 40 years was when he came out. He was going around. He saw how they were treating the Hebrews. And he killed the Egyptian. He was 40 years. And he ran away. And then 40 years later, he saw the burning bush. You could say 40 years
I think I'm dead. I think God has forgotten about me. 40 years. No marriage, 40 years. No husband, 40 years. No wife, 40 years. I don't have a car for 40 years. Hey, what kind of God is this? But the man was called by God. You see, Moses, one thing about Moses is that Moses had a genuine desire to free his people. And he attempted that when he was 40 years. But that desire, that dream didn't come to pass until 80 years. Yeah. God was still watching him. Still watching him. One day, God said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's set the bush on fire. And this guy, he's inquisitive. He will come and find out why. And then I will speak to him. That was the beginning of his call. Now, when that thing happened and, you know, God called him to go and speak to Pharaoh, let my people go. He was staying with his father-in-law because he married Jethro's daughter also. He was taking care of his sheep. So he went back and talked it over with Jethro, his father-in-law. With your permission, Moses said, with your permission. Not that, you know what? I'll go in. Because I is the one who heard God's voice. So whether you like it or not, I go in. No. There's a way to do things. If you have to leave, you leave well. You leave well, properly, appropriately. I tell you, living in a church is never really peaceful. Really peaceful. Really. Because we live with emotional disturbances. With your permission, Moses said, I would like to go back to Egypt to visit my family. I don't even know whether they are still alive. So then the pastor will say, but you, I don't even know whether they are alive, then why are you going? But the Bible says, go with my blessing. Jethro replied, go with my blessing. So it was no surprise a few chapters later that the father-in-law came to visit Moses when he was on his way out of Egypt. Because if Moses had left in a certain way, you say, you better try there. Exodus chapter 18, verse 7. Exodus 18 and verse 7. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed to him respectfully and greeted him warmly. Hey, if you don't live well, how can you greet somebody warmly? You see how things happen. I mean, when you see, not even the pastor, people from the church, you pass straight. It's like you and somebody are fighting. It's true. People leave the church and they don't want to hear anything about anybody in that church. No, if you do that, evil, please don't forget Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 13. Evil will not depart from your house. I had a church member who is not here anymore. But, you know, she went to a church that started not long ago. And the pastor told her that there's a spirit, there's a demon that moves with you from your house when you leave your house. He said that there's a demon. Whenever you leave your house, the demon lives with you. When you go home, goes home with you. Hey! If you repay evil for good, evil shall not depart from your house. So the church member came back. The church member came back. And then she came to tell me. I said, so then why don't you go back and let the person drive away, whoever is behind you? Why should I monkey the work back, baboon the chop? Why should I be the bad one who should not drive the demon away? Go to the person who diagnosed the problem. Let him fix the problem. I see, pastors, our weakness is our heart. A good pastor's weakness is his heart. Bishop told me one day, he said, Collins, you only get into trouble if you're a good pastor by helping people. That's when you get into trouble.
Every good pastor, your trouble will come when you are helping people. Because when you help, then after everything is okay, then they don't remember you. Or they say, well, who is he? Who does he think he is? Hey, is that what you are telling me today? The same person who helped somebody. So because of our hearts, I said, okay, no problem. I'll pray for you. So I arranged with her. She came one day and then I prayed for her. Then the demon manifested and said, hey, I said, who are you? He says, her mother asked me to take care of her when she died. I said, hey, really? He said, yes. So I said, why are you? He said, I am at the gate. I am MMC Security Service. I said, if you repay evil for good, evil. Many of us don't know what is in front of our house when we leave the house. One day I prayed for one of my church members and the demon manifested. I said, where are you from? Why have you come into her life? The demon said, we stand outside the church and we look at the people. We look at the people. That's what the demon told me. He said, we are outside the church. When people are going in and coming out, we are watching them. And he said, this one, she likes minding people's business. Jesus said, you have eyes, but you don't see. Yeah. No. You think about it. If we indeed have an enemy, don't you think that the enemy has his eyes on you? And that wherever you are going, they are watching you? Anytime you walk through the two doors of this church, they are wondering, when will they succeed in making you not come here again? That day when the demons spoke, you see, demons, they are fools. They make us wise. I mean, but they like talking. Demons, they talk. So when I'm casting out devils, I don't want to cast them straight. I want to hear what they have to say. Then I learn from it. He said, we stand outside the church and we look at people. I said, they go in. So it's like you can imagine somebody hiding somewhere and looking. As Sylvester comes, he's looking at Sylvester. As Gift comes, he's looking at Gift. As Judy comes to the car parked there, he's watching her. I said, this girl, when can we really get her out? Not to the day will come when you come, her car is not there. When can we succeed in doing that? They're planning. He said, that this one, she like minding people business. I was surprised that if you mind people business, demons like you. I tell you, it's very interesting. Demonology, very interesting. I tell you. So this lady has a demon right in front of her house, and the demon said her mother gave us charge over her life. She's left the church. In the name of Jesus, come out. And then you leave. She was talking to somebody else who also left the church. You know what she told the girl? She told her on Facebook, she said, girl, you looking good. Because you're getting time to sleep in the night. You know what she meant? The church that she used to come to, you don't sleep well because you go home very late in the night. So you don't get enough rest. So she is telling the other girl, who were all church workers being here, telling her that you're looking good because now you get all your 8 or 10, 12 hours to sleep. Okay. Look so juicy. Somebody is behind you as you leave your house. Moses respectfully and greeted him warmly. They asked about each other's health and then went to Moses' tent to talk further. If Moses had left, like Jacob left his... I'm sure Jethro probably would have even said something bad about him. I said, this guy, he's taking people where? I pray that the people should give him problems. Is there something else to say?
They talk further. Next verse. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to rescue Israel from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. He also told him about the problems they had faced along the way and how the Lord had delivered his people from all their troubles. Jethro was delighted when he heard about all that the Lord had done for Israel as he brought them out of Egypt. Oh, praise be to the Lord, Jethro said, for he has saved you from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh. He has rescued Israel from the power of Egypt. I now know that the Lord is greater than all other gods because his people have escaped from the proud and cruel Egyptians. Then Jethro presented a burnt offering and gave sacrifices to God for Moses' sake. What a send off. And you see, Moses just did things right.
Don't pack your bags and just leave.
Don't just decide to not come again. It's not good. In fact, Paul told Timothy something in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The book is there. It's loyalty and it's loyalty. You can get it. You can see all the things that are inside.
1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. As I close. See, I shared a scripture with my leaders the other day where the Bible says that, you know, we are royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 and verse 10, it goes on to see how we who were not a people have now become the people of God. You see, a people is always defined by customs and traditions. A people, in when you live among a people, there are ways to do things. Are you with me? Like we were in Lethem the other day, and you know, they served the congregation with some food, and they served farine and some pink rice and some fat beef. I tell you. Mary, the gari, I think they boiled oil with some spices inside and they poured it on the gari. That's all. And the rice on the side and beef like that. Heavy, heavy beef. Hey! For everybody. And then the next thing they had was that the beef, they boiled it in water with spices like how we do our soup. And they, you know, they poured it in plates. Oh, meat is what? Meat is what? But that's how they live their lives over there in Rupununi. Yeah, you must visit them. Yeah. So when you become a people and you belong to a group of people, there are customs and there are traditions. There are ways to do things. And that is what, for me, the African Guyanese don't have anything. The Afro-Guyanese, they are not a people. There's no culture, there's no tradition, there's no custom. The Indo-Guyanese, they have their things. You see, so when you move from even that to become a Christian, then you come into another kingdom where there are practices. So in this kingdom here, whenever you have to leave somebody, you don't just check out. You just don't do that. Paul told Timothy, said, so that if I can't come for a while, give me 14, so that, you know, we'll probably understand it well. I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon. But he said that so that if I can't come for a while, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. It means that in the church, there's a way to conduct yourself. Shorty, there's a way to conduct yourself in the church. You cannot just be in the church and just behave anyhow. There's a way. And if you don't know, find out. What do I do? How do I do this? This and that and that and that. That's a way to conduct yourself in the church of God. You can't just be a Christian and you just do things anyhow. No. Christians have a way. They behave themselves. Yeah, those who belong to the world, they have ways, they have things, how they behave themselves. When you are a Christian, you must behave yourself accordingly and appropriately as a Christian. You don't just check out of people's lives. You don't check out of people's lives. I was in Trinidad and St. Lucia the other day with Bishop Richard. You see, and we went there to visit them, but also to also do things properly because the pastor in Trinidad has been moved on to Antigua and the pastor in St. Lucia has been moved on to the Bahamas. You know, and the people have seen that, you know, they go for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and then they come back for 1 week and then they go. So, you know, church members, if you see me going and coming, I'm sure you smell fish. You say, well, why is this rare travel, sir? You know. So we had to go in there and, you know, do things the right way. And so Bishop Richard announced that your pastor is moving on. I'll come and see you crying in the church. I was asking Bishop Richard, I'm sure you have done this about 100 times. He said, brother, you don't have an idea. Yeah, you don't have an idea. You go and tell people's somebody's church members that your pastor is leaving them. It's not a nice thing at all. But I mean, you got to do it. You got to say it. We went to St. Lucia. We had a camp. Hey! When he announced that your pastor is, hey, come and see. In fact, the camp was okay until the point when he made the announcement. Then the whole place changed. Come and see, cry. That when we say we wanted to have a group picture, the people say they won't even come and take the picture. But you see, we had to say it. Because the man has really moved on. They live in another country. They have a house that they are paying rent. Just waiting for things to settle for their wives to come. So, well, we can't just be around and say, hey, pastor has traveled, right? Don't worry, he will come back. It's not like that. But to say it well. Even though it's not a nice thing to say it. It's a similar way. If you have to depart or leave for one reason or the other, it must be godly. I said it must be godly. Stand to your feet, please. The time is up. Hallelujah. The book is available, I hope. I think we've run out of loyalty and disloyalty. Make sure you get a copy. We have electronic versions of it. Make sure that, you know, if you have a smartphone, you can get a copy on your smartphone also. It is a blessing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for teaching us that there's a way to conduct ourselves when we are part of a church. And we don't want to repay evil for good. Because we don't want evil. We don't even know the extent of the evil. The degree and the magnitude of the evil. So we don't even want to think about that. So we thank you for teaching us this. That whenever we have to depart, whenever we have to separate, that we should do it godly. We should do it in a proper way. Thank you for teaching. The Bible says we should train a child the way he should go. So that when he's grown, he will not depart from it. We honor you and we bless you. In Jesus' name.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.